up? This is Decoder. Today's date is November 19th, 2004. And this is the Mind War, you fucking punks! Mind War, and before we even start this fucking show, I just want to remind everyone to send all email from now on to themindwar@themindwar.com. It just makes our lives a lot easier. I don't know what that whole USA.com thing was all about.
Yeah, well said.
That was your thing?
Yeah, I know. I thought it would be kind of cool just that USA.com, but whatever. When we get a .gov, we'll let you know.
I want a .arpa, but anyway.
Right. But anyway, this is the motherfucking mind war, the war for your mind. And, we got some shit to talk about today.
Yeah.
You got anything to talk about before I start? Because there's a few quick news items I want to get out of the way.
Well, I was going to do the, I went to physical therapy today, and my arm feels a lot better. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, actually, like, it was really fucking surprising, man. Like, fucking sitting in there and like fucking by the time I got out I was just like, holy shit man, fucking the arm feels like good.
Elite. Was that from just drugs or the physical therapy?
No, I didn't fucking give any drugs, man. It was all physical therapy. And like, I mean, you know, physical therapy, man, like the fucking gals that do that are like fucking good looking and like really nice.
Yep, I hear you, man. They give me their own brand of physical therapy after hours. That's a different story though.
Alright, so thanks, back to topic.
That's nothing that you could learn in school, let me tell you. There's no formal training. You don't get a cert for that. You should. You know, what a great idea that would be. What a fucking great idea.
What's that?
A certification for being good at sex. Because I'm sick of, like, running into these really good-looking girls that when you get them home, they're just rag dolls. You know what I'm saying? They just lay there. They don't know how to suck a dick. It's like, bitch, have you ever, like, watched pornography in your life? Do you know, like, what's supposed to go on? Have you even seen, like, the Paris Hilton tape? Like, come on.
I'm just fucking lazy, man. If, like, if you can't, like, do top, like, I'm not really even interested.
I'm just saying, man. It's like, you know, what do you need, like, instructional videos for this, like, certification? It's like, and now our lesson for today will be Hustlers Barely Legal number 15. We're going to be examining Kelly and how she does all this shit correctly and how fucking you don't and you should. Certifications for fucking sex. That's what we need in this country. We need to get less purist and fucking more open about this shit. Because it's a fucking ripoff. When a girl is hot and she doesn't know what she's doing, it's a fucking ripoff, dude. I'm sure there's a fucking 100,000 ugly girls that know what the fuck is going on. Shut up. Doug has to chime in to just say ha ha. Who the fuck are you, Nelson from The Simpsons? Nelson Muntz?
Oh, God.
An idiot. But anyway, enough of that. That has nothing to do with this show. This is indeed the mind war, and that's just, you know, those are just my ideas. I think we should have certifications for fucking performing fucking sexual tasks to an accepted standard. You know what I'm saying?
It's terrible.
It's not terrible. I think it's a fucking elite idea. So screw you. You're fucking infringing upon my hopes and dreams.
And anyway,
you're ruining America for me. Anyway, you got anything in the news today you want to talk about before I get into what I want to talk about?
I will let you go. I fucking was asleep all day.
Oh, okay. Well, there's this one thing, really quick topic that I'm going to get into on the news. And this is another thing to do with fucking, that I'm going to bring something up to do with females and sex, but that'll take a few seconds. Here in New York, actually in Long Island, New York, I forgot the name of the fucking town where it happened in, or a city, or whatever you want to call it. But at first, I thought it was some kids. But it turned out that they were all like 17 and 18, which just makes it like 10 times worse. Apparently, four or five, I forgot how many of these fucking young men, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Went into a local grocery store and bought a big-ass, like, 25-pound frozen turkey with a stolen credit card. Number one, bad idea, because if you're in any retail establishment, you know that, like, at point of sale, at the registers, no matter where you are, there's a camera. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. You're at, like, fucking mom-and-pop's Christian store, and there's a fucking camera.
Yeah, you know, so if you're in a large fucking supermarket grocery store, you know what I'm saying? There's definitely going to be a camera. But anyway, so they buy this 25-pound frozen turkey with a stolen credit card, and they proceed to drive down the road. Let me light up my cigarette. Drive down the road, and they toss this fucking thing out of the car off of a highway overpass. Well, luck has it that it fucking smashed through some fucking car's windshield and hit some lady square in the fucking face as she was driving down the highway.
Which probably didn't feel real good.
Yeah, 25-pound frozen turkey fucking coming at you from fucking, from off an overpass, right in your face? Yeah.
No, you're fucking going down the highway. I mean, like, we're no fucking physicists here, but I'm sure, like, it hit you fucking fast.
And, you know, it's better that, she probably needs, like, all sorts of facial reconstruction, but it's better than hitting her, like, fucking in a different spot in her head, because she would have been dead.
Right.
You know, she's probably lucky it hit her smack in the face.
Right.
But anyway, at any rate, when I first heard about this, I just immediately assumed it was some, like, kids, like 13, 14, maybe 15.
Right, maybe 15.
Yeah, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Because I couldn't even imagine myself at 13 being that stupid, but I could imagine some people I know at 13 or 14 being that stupid. You know what I'm saying? So that's all well and good. Well, it turns out they're not. They're all, like, 17 and 18. And they all fucking get arrested on numerous charges, including their girlfriends who were with them, these two fucking chicks. And they showed them on the news. They look pretty fucking hot. And these girls, I think, were 17. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, first of all, you know, it should go without saying that these kids are fucking retards, and I don't even care what the fuck happens to them. It doesn't really matter to me. But this should tell these fucking girls that if your boyfriend is a fucking jackass, come fuck me instead, because I'm not. I'm not going to get you in trouble. These bitches are going to go to jail for like fucking five years, probably. You know what I'm saying? Because their boyfriend's a fucking retard. Because he's a goddamn idiot. Do they deserve that? Do they deserve that just because they were there and they didn't say anything because they were scared?
No, not really.
Well, that's what they're going to get, because they're accessories to a fucking, I guess, I don't know what they're going to call it.
Fucking that turkey, fucking.
It's going to be probably fucking attempted murder, you know?
Well, if I couldn't tell it, manslaughter charges along with credit card fraud.
Yeah, oh yeah, along with credit card fraud, you know? So they're going to be charged as accessories, which is, you know, you're going to get the, believe me, I don't know if you know how the fucking system works, but if you're charged as an accessory, yeah, it's pretty much the same thing as if you did it.
Right. You're still going to, they're going to fucking walk away with a year, probably like fucking a year and a day, fucking sentencing, and they'll probably like fucking maybe do some of it or not. But I mean, either way, the point is that like, their boyfriends are such fucking retards. They went and carted a fucking frozen turkey and threw it off an overpass. It's like an idea of like some fun to do that night.
And the supposed ringleader who looks like a jackass, he's actually in college, 18-year-old, the fucking supposed ringleader had been arrested once before for criminal mischief. A year ago, this is 17, mind you, when he was 17 for throwing eggs at a house. It's like, how the fuck old are you again? Like, I don't even remember. I don't think I had hair on my nuts the last time I egged a house. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, what the fuck is wrong? These girls were pretty fucking good looking. At least the one I saw, she looked all right. I would have tagged it. You know what I'm saying? I would have definitely topped that ass. So for all, any females out there listening, you know, if you're good looking and your boyfriend is a fucking retard, get the fuck rid of him. Just get, you're going to end up in jail. It's going to happen.
Right. He's going to be like, let's go buy this frozen turkey with this credit card.
Just come to my house. The worst that's going to happen if you fucking come over here and fuck me is that I'll kick you out. That's the worst possible case scenario. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The, I mean, come on.
Worst case scenario over there is like, fucking, you're going to jail because some lady's got a fucking turkey implanted in her face.
Yeah, right? You know what I'm saying? Come on. That's not even close to being the worst case scenario, because if these guys, if that's their idea of like what is normal, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure they've done a lot worse.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do dumb shit like that every day. It just never resulted in some fucking lady getting smashed in the face with a turkey. You know? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and for all the guys out there who, like, thought that was a cool thing when we first started talking about it, like, fucking grow up.
Yeah, you're a fucking idiot. You started laughing when I fucking first talked about that? You are fucking a moron. You're one of these people who fucking is just going to end up going to jail for that.
Well, you were 15.
And what's going to happen to you when you fucking go to jail for that and the people in the fucking prison find out that that's why you're there? You better get used to the cock, because you're going to receive very much of it in any hole they can find on you.
Right.
So get used to it. Acquire a taste for it. Anyway, it's not really the main topic. The main topic I wanted to talk about is I picked up this fucking magazine, which, and this show is turning into like fucking the new magazine I picked up of the day. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. If anyone knows me, they know that I fucking go to newsstands and fucking bookstores and all sorts of shit all the time because I like to read. I like the words. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As opposed to that jackass right there fucking listening who's playing like video games or something. I like to read. And that other idiot watching TV while he's listening to this, fucking, I don't do that shit. I like to read. And I like periodicals most of all. Because periodicals are lead. They come out, like, you know, every so often, periodically. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be monthly or quarterly or bi-monthly or weekly, you know what I'm saying? Or 10 times a year, 8 times a year, whatever the case, there's always a new one fucking waiting in the pipe. Right? And this magazine I picked up today, many, many good things about it before I even fucking opened it up. Number one, the name of it is called Reason, Free Minds and Free Markets. That's good enough. You know what I'm saying? Number two, it was voted one of the 50 best magazines by the Chicago Tribune. And number three, it's the cover price is $3.50. Fucking, what year was it the last time a magazine cost $3.50?
Oh, I don't know.
Like 96?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, magazines are $5, $6 now. This magazine, $3.50. But anyway, it's called Reason, and apparently it's some libertarian type of fucking magazine. Let me tell you, it's fucking dope. This thing has fucking, there's an interview with fucking FCC fucking chairman Michael Powell. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about anything from this interview because I haven't gotten finished reading yet, and I was very busy today, so I didn't get a chance to take any notes on it. But I've been reading a lot of this, and, you know, Michael Powell isn't that bad of a guy. He's so far has like half a brain. You know what I'm saying? So for all the bitching about the FCC, I mean, it's not really his fault, because he made a very good point that the FCC isn't like the people want them to be, but they're not. They're not like the FBI. They don't go out there and investigate. They just wait for fucking idiots to complain.
No, in fact, the FCC only has a handful of listening stations, which, interestingly enough, are pretty much geographically located wherever I have lived.
They're following you.
Well, they were there before I got there.
Oh, you're like, following them.
It's like fucking, there was like one.
I think you might be a terrorist.
There's like one next to my fucking hometown. There's
God,
like
don't take a picture of any of them, because then you're definitely a terrorist.
Right. There's like one 40 miles away from where I live right now. It's like, it's really fucked up. Like, there's just like one fucking river rock I moved to.
Weird. But anyway, like I said, Michael Powell doesn't seem like that bad of a guy. The cover story on this particular issue, which is December 2004, is called Disney's War Against the Counterculture, Why a Decades-Old Copyright Case Matters Now More Than Ever. And it's actually an article about these artists, comic book artists, called the Air Pirates. And apparently in the 60s or 70s, early, late 60s, early 70s, they made this comic book called Air Pirates, and it basically took Disney characters and fucking put them in their own comic, you know what I'm saying? Making them do all sorts of crazy shit, like fucking smuggling drugs and fucking doing crazy stuff. And Disney apparently sued them, and they went through a lot of shit, you know, and it's a pretty fucking interesting thing. Any fucking way. But it's definitely a good magazine. I really wish that I had time today. I was very, very, very fucking busy today. But there's all sorts of crazy shit in here. What I do want to talk about a little bit is another article in here. And I'm not even gonna mention too much of the article. I'm just gonna talk about this fucking off the top of my head. And it's something called the Free State Project. And for people that don't know what the Free State Project is, basically, it's the brainchild of this 27-year-old political science instructor at Yale named Jason Sorens. And his idea is pretty simple. He basically wants all libertarians to fucking go to congregate in one state, that state being New Hampshire. And basically, you know, I'll use the word infiltrate, but, you know, pretty much get themselves elected into state government across the board, you know, because why be spread thin? They're just going to get crushed. They got good ideas. No one can deny that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
No one can deny that the libertarians have very good ideas. Nobody's denying it, you know what I'm saying? They just want to be in one state. They want to, instead of being so thinly spread, they want them all fucking jam-packed together. And I think it's fucking dope. And if anyone knows about New Hampshire, their state motto, which is slapped right on the fucking license plates on the cars, is live free or die. And you know fucking what? It's a good goddamn motto.
Alright, so the idea is once you get enough people in, like, Congress, or state Congress and such, and the governor, you basically just tell the federal government to go fuck off.
Well, that wouldn't work. Like, that's the part of the plan that I don't really agree with, because we all know what would happen.
In terms of, like, saying fuck off, though, like, you say, like, look, we're not interested in your fucking money for highways anymore, so stop.
Yeah, but there's no state tax in New Hampshire. This would cost a lot of money.
Right. Well, even so.
See, people don't realize there's a lot of things that make New Hampshire very special. There's no state tax, number one. There are no seatbelt laws, motorcycle helmet laws, bullshit like that. Like, these ridiculous things that are illegal in every state are A-okay in New Hampshire. And it's not that, like, New Hampshire is any fucking different. It's the fact that they're not idiots. They haven't passed these idiotic laws because they believe in that little motto, live free or die. They're actually what America is supposed to be. They're not bothering you with this little bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And live free or fucking die, man, New Hampshire. But yeah, you can't tell the feds to go fuck themselves. You can't do it. You can't. What about all that federal funding, man?
I think they're going to get away with it, though.
You think they're going to get away with it?
Yeah, they're going to.
I don't know. The feds might get pissed.
Trying to increase property tax, but I think they'll be able to pull it off.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, I'm going to read a little bit from this. Sorens introduced, this is the guy, fucking, what's his name, Jason Sorens. Sorens introduced the idea in a 2001 essay in the webzine Libertarian Enterprise. He then cited an organization dedicating to executing it. Free State Project leaders and spokesmen proselytized for a freedom lover's exodus wherever sympathetic listeners are likely to gather, encouraging their fellow libertarians to take the FSP pledge. FSP, of course, Free State Project. The pledge commits you to the proposition that once 20,000 like-minded libertarians have also made the pledge, thereby solving what might be called the, quote, you go first problem, you will, within 5 years, move to New Hampshire and be an activist for increased liberty in that state. Who's going to sign the pledge?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, I don't fucking see myself going to New Hampshire, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, it's elite. You can get guns.
Right. Actually, quite interesting to see if something like that ever, if it actually took off.
Well, we'll fucking see. Only time will tell, you know what I'm saying? Only fucking time will tell.
I mean, who knows? Fucking maybe the Libertarian Party candidate would actually get some fucking electoral votes in the fucking presidential race then.
Oh, look at this. Fucking, I was just reading about this guy, fucking Kerry Thornley. One of the earliest post-war proposals to actualize the fantasy was one of the most fucking, what the fuck is this saying? Oh, there he is. Driven to the edges of the continental shelf by an ever-expanding Leviathan state, she retreat to the high seas. Libertarian Uber freak Kerry Thornley was the early apostle of this idea in a series of articles in the seminal 60s libertarian magazine Innovator. This was before he decided he had been a CIA mind-control patsy possibly involved in the JFK assassination as a, quote, second Oswald. And as a matter of fact, fucking, that's a really interesting book. The story of Kerry Thornley is very fucking interesting. If I may fucking just divert from this topic of fucking the Free State Project. There's a book. Let me find the title. I don't know the exact fucking title. I got to flip through some things here because here it is. The name of the book is called The Prankster and the Conspiracy, The Story of Kerry Thornley and How He Met Oswald and Inspired the Counterculture. And the little blurb for this fucking book says, one of the 1960s counterculture's most fascinating characters was Kerry Wendell Thornley, a writer, philosopher, Zen dishwasher, enlightened prankster, founder of the Discordian Society, which everyone should go fucking look up the Discordian Society and find out about these guys. These guys are elite. And possibly an Oswald double with disturbing ties to the Kennedy assassination. It's a fact that the two served together in the Marines, but did they keep in touch later in New Orleans? And were they both used by foes of JFK? Jim Garrison investigated their relationship, and so does Adam Gortley, I guess Gortly. That's the author of this book, in The Prankster and the Conspiracy, an account of Thornley's tragic yet hilarious life, the JFK conspiracy and the chaos caused by worshiping the goddess of discord. And you can order this book from paraview.com, www.paraview.com.
You can always check your local library.
Yeah, here you go, Paraview Press, the 2003, the ISBN is 19310446 X. 292 pages, trade paperback, $16.95. And there's an article in actually this this is the fall 2004 issue of Paranoia. It's pretty much an excerpt from the book, and it's fucking good reading. If you don't want to fucking commit to buying the book, you know what I'm saying? Go pick up a fucking copy of the fall 2004 issue of Paranoia, and read this fucking shit. It is fucking insane. I read this like a couple of weeks ago. It is fucking nuts. The shit that really went on. And, of course, the Discordian Society is fucking lead. If you don't know about them, find out.
You might be shocked. You might find it at your local library, too. I mean, I think Dakota and I are kind of spoiled. I mean, I have to imagine the library system over in New York is awesome, and the library system over here in Seattle is
the thing great. Is, I buy all my books. If I go to the library, I read there. I don't fucking go home with anything. I don't even have a library card. I like to buy books because I like to fucking read them later. I like to read it once, put it down for a fucking month, read it again later. You know what I'm saying?
I'm low, so I fucking go to the library.
Yeah, you know, believe me, I don't fucking get through enough books as I would like to because of the fact that I buy them all, but I buy, like, little paperbacks. You know, the best thing to do if you really like to fucking read books is to fucking go on eBay, dude, because I have literally over, like, 150 hardcover books here, like, most of them first editions. I don't read fucking fiction, if anybody doesn't know that. Only read nonfiction. Because I fucking have no interest for it. I can make shit up in my head. I think it's fucking cool. There's a lot of cool, like, old-school science fiction, you know what I'm saying? But as far as what I have time to do, like, I don't have a lot of time in my life. So usually I read a lot of nonfiction to acquaint myself with...
Actually, and even Amazon.com, if you go to the fucking use and new shit...
Uh-huh.
Like, I picked fucking books up that are out of print for, like, $2.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I picked up fucking out-of-print first-edition hardcovers on eBay for, like, $3. You know what I'm saying? It's fucking dope. And, by the way, the reason that I read only nonfiction is because when you're reading shit like this stuff about Kerry Thornley and the Discordian Society and shit like that, you're reading nonfiction that reads like fiction. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot more interesting. Truth is always stranger than fiction. And that's pretty much my basis for reading nonfiction only.
There's a couple of fiction books out there that...
All right. I've of course, read 1984, like, fucking 10 times. I read Animal Farm, like, 10 times. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah, exactly. A few of the old, very old school, like, late 19th century science fiction shit. You know?
Right.
That's all fucking pretty lit. Flatland. That's a fucking lit book.
Right.
You know?
Well, because there's a lot of them that, like, a lot of fiction has, like, a lot of really good social... context.
Yeah, social commentary, allegory, and fucking things of that nature.
Right, but I mean, to say just fucking go pick up like the fucking trashy sci-fi books or whatever is a complete waste of time.
Yeah, that's a waste. I can make up that dumb shit in my head. But anyway, fucking, yeah, Free State Project, fucking, I don't know, they must have a website, fucking. You know what? I'm not giving out websites anymore unless I have it written in front of me, because you know what? There's this thing called Google. I believe their stock is at like $162 and change right now. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure a lot of people use them.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
And Microsoft has their own somewhat inefficient search engine right now.
Yeah, exactly. You could use Microsoft's fucking inferior fucking search engine.
Well,
but Google
inferior OS with an inferior web browser.
Exactly. But yeah, fucking, you want to know the website, you want to find out about the Free State Project, I'm not going to, don't say like, oh, what's a website for that? It's called fucking Google. All right? If you don't know how to use Google, what you do is you type Free State Project, three words, in quotes. And then you hit search.
Right.
If you're feeling lucky, hit I'm feeling lucky. Or if you're lucky 225, hit I'm feeling lucky.
Or if you're feeling lucky 225,
hit I'm feeling lucky. any fucking way. There are a few really quick fucking blurbs I want to get through in this fucking. I like the magazines with the little short things because a lot of this stuff is always funny. I'm gonna get through a few of them. Some of them that I marked off as interesting. Politicians versus free speech, ad blockers, by Jacob Solomon. March 2000, Face the Nation panelist Gloria Borger asked George W. Bush about independent ads attacking his chief rival for the Republican presidential nomination, Arizona Senator John McCain. The future president's reply invoked the freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment. Quote, "That's what freedom of speech is all about," he said. "People have the right to run ads." Well, during the 2004 campaign, after Democrats proved the depth at raising money for independent ads attacking Bush, he sang a different tune. Quote, "I frankly thought we'd gotten rid of that when I signed the McCain-Feingold bill," he told reporters in August, referring to the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act of 2002, which banned, quote, "soft money donations to political parties and thereby increased the importance of independent political groups organized under Section 527 of the Internal Revenue Code." Quote, "I don't think we ought to have 527s. I think they're bad for the system." Shortly thereafter, Bush promised to join forces with McCain in seeking an end to what White House spokesman Scott McClellan called, quote, "negative attacks from these shadowy groups funded by unregulated soft money." Despite Bush's sweeping condemnation of 527s, when his campaign filed a lawsuit in early September demanding action by the Federal Election Commission, the FEC, it focused on anti-Bush groups such as MoveOn.org, the Media Fund, and America Coming Together. Bush accused these groups of illegally coordinating their efforts with John Kerry's campaign, which just a few weeks before had made similar allegations in an FEC complaint against ads questioning the senator's Vietnam record. When in actuality, it's really surprising, you know, I'm going to fucking divert here for a second into this. It was actually fucking people for the Bush campaign that were fucking running these 527s, people who actually worked for Bush. But anyway, made similar allegations in an FEC complaint against ads questioning the senator's Vietnam record. Ruling in a separate case on September 18th, the federal judge faulted the FEC for defining illegal coordination too narrowly. Still, the commission was not expected to act on the dueling Bush and Kerry complaints before the election, and it already has decided to delay the implementation of restrictions on 527s until 2005. The new rules approved in August treat 527s as political action committees subject to contribution limits if they collect money based on a promise that it will be used to defeat a federal candidate, which they don't really want to say in this little article, that the Campaign Finance Reform Act, basically what it said was that you can't use this money to endorse a specific candidate. Well, their easy way around that was, we'll just bash the other candidate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the loophole. It wasn't a loophole. That's what it was supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I'll fucking continue. Based on a promise that it would be used to defeat a federal candidate. That would seem to eliminate the big checks from rich Democrats that so horrified Bush, unless 527s can learn to be more subtle when they ask for money than politicians are when they try to silence their critics. And I don't know, any comments on that, Rachel?
Yeah, fucking bastards.
That's it? Okay. Here's another one.
It'd make me so sick, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, fuck them. They both did it. Like, why would he... And they're both fucking pissed off about it? Aren't these, like, things, like, canceling each other out? Didn't I learn this in, like, logic or something? But
well,
anyway.
Well, it's really fucking funny because they're both pissed off that, like, the other person was doing what they were doing.
Yeah, I fucking don't understand. It blows my fucking mind, but I'm not even going to think about that. If it doesn't blow your mind, it should. Here's another one.
Those are the people that we wanted to run our country.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Those are the people that we fucking picked to run our country. Anyway, the War on Sampling, Illegal Music by Julian Sanchez. This article is plagiarized. Every word in it has been brazenly sampled from a book, the dictionary, and remixed into a news story. That's a pretty silly way to define plagiarism, but it's not far from the logic of a September decision by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. In Bridgeport Music versus Dimension Films, the court held that the rap group NWA committed copyright infringement when it used a looped three-note, 1.5-second riff from the Funkadelic track Get Off Your Ass and Jam for its song 100 Miles and Running. The practice of crafting new musical works from bits and pieces of older songs has a long history, from the groundbreaking oral decoupage of comedian Dickie Goodman's 1956 single The Flying Saucer to Vanilla Ice's somewhat less inspired lift from David Bowie's Under Pressure for his 1990 hit Ice Ice Baby.
Or even fucking the goddamn, like, star-singled Banner.
Yeah, what about Can?
Like,
do you remember them? Do you remember that fucking group?
Who?
From, like, the 70s? Can, C-A-N.
No.
Oh, fucking, those dudes were just nothing but fucking tape loops and bullshit. Anyway, the Sixth Circuit's decision held that all such borrowing is infringing, rejecting the argument that courts should consider whether the sample is significant or de minimis, and, you know, de minimis. And holding that, quote, even when a small part of a sound recording is sampled, the part taken is something of value. Quote, get a license, the court instructed artists, or do not sample. A group called Downhill Battle has organized a protest against the ruling, encouraging people to submit 30-second songs using the same 1.5-second sample at issue in the case for an online compilation called Three Notes and Running. That's fucking ridiculous. There is nothing original in the fucking world. I'm sorry, it's all been done before. It has all been done before. And taking 1.5 seconds from a fucking song and using that shit in your fucking song? What if I played the, what if it was a fucking a riff on a guitar? One note on a guitar. And I played the same note in my song. People do it every day.
Right.
Fuck that bullshit. And the last thing I'm going to read. Banning Peer-to-Peer Networks. Induced Vomiting by Hannah Metchis. Last year, a U.S. District Court in Los Angeles held that Grokster, a peer-to-peer file-sharing network, could not be held responsible for copyright infringements by its users. Since then, the Recording Industry Association of America has been suing individual downloaders rather than companies, but the entertainment industry is still itching to shut down file-trading networks at the source. Their latest attempt is the Inducing Infringement of Copyrights Act, sponsored by Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican from Utah, who everyone fucking hates because he's a fucking jackass and he should fucking...
You mean incarnate of the devil?
Yeah. Orrin Hatch is a pretty sick dude. He's a sick and twisted person. He is sick in the head. Orrin Hatch is the guy who fucking said that Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9/11 before anyone else said it.
Right.
You know, so this is the guy, Orrin Hatch. Like I said, sponsored by Senator Orrin Hatch, which would make it illegal to intentionally induce copyright violation. Hey, watch this. Look, Rigel.
Yeah.
Go download a song.
Oh, God, you're busted.
I've intentionally induced copyright violation. With such vague, broad language, the bill endangers not just file-sharing networks, but many other technologies as well. To illustrate the legislation's reach, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, of course the EFF, we know them well, has produced a sample legal complaint targeting Apple for creating and marketing the iPod, and webzine CNET for explaining how to use it, and Toshiba for providing the hard drives. Oh, they're inducing, intentionally inducing infringements of copyrights. I made a hard drive. You store your MP3s on the hard drive. Oh, you intentionally induced it. Because if it wasn't for that hard drive, where would you put it? Where would you put it?
Think about it. Like, all those fucking ads everywhere, it's like great for streaming MP3s.
Yeah, what about that? You're intentionally inducing that shit. And CNET, because they explain how to use it.
Right.
Anyway, the potential wrath of consumers probably would prevent an actual lawsuit against the iPod, but the possibility of legal action could stifle innovation. If Hatch's bill had been law in 2001, would Apple have been willing to take the risk of introducing the iPod? Or of promoting the iMac with the quote, rip, mix, burn campaign? Widespread public criticism has prompted the Senate Judiciary Committee to consider revisions to the bill. Wow, they're going to consider revisions to the bill? Why don't they just fucking tar and feather Orrin Hatch? Because he's a fucking moron anyway, regardless of this. Anyway.
Yeah, I'd fucking support a Senate resolution to fucking tar and feather Orrin Hatch.
I mean, can we fucking... I'm going to talk to my fucking congressman soon. Anyway, at press time, the affected parties have not been able to agree on new language for the legislation. How about fucking not English? Because fucking apparently you're not really fucking good at that shit. It's not dead yet, though, and technology companies and civil liberties groups remain wary. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be real fucking wary, too.
Yeah. Wow, it's fucking, it's 12:38, man. We might have to get going pretty soon.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Fuck.
No, it's fucking Saturday night. What the fuck is anyone doing here listening to us?
That's true. I don't think there anybody is listening.
What are we doing at home?
I got a few more fucking stupid things. Here's a few quick stupid things. British broadcast officials have banned an ad for Ford's Land Rover because it shows a woman firing a starter pistol into the air as the man gets into his automobile. They say the ad, quote, normalized gun ownership. Can't do that. Can't fire a starter pistol. The Junior Statesman... Yeah, right. The Junior Statesman Foundation selected Benjamin Traslavina, the 16-year-old vice president of his high school's honor society and editor of the school paper, to attend the Republican National Convention. When AIDS protesters... What are AIDS protesters? They're protesting AIDS?
No, I think they're...
I don't know what AIDS protesters are. But anyway, when those guys tried to disrupt the speech by White House Chief of Staff Andy Card... Traslavina tried to photograph the conflict, and the Secret Service grabbed him and turned him over to New York City police. Although the protesters said he wasn't part of their group, and although he had valid credentials, he was handcuffed and his film was thrown away, and he was jailed for 12 hours before being allowed to make a phone call. He was eventually arraigned on a felony charge of inciting a riot and misdemeanor charges of assault and disorderly conduct. So it's official. You cannot take a photograph in the United States anymore. And if you continue to say that you love America because it's free, kill yourself. There, that's the best way I can say it. Just off yourself. You're useless. Hey, Rigel, did you know that children in the Sacramento area don't play tag, dodgeball, or any game involving physical contact, including pushing each other on the swing during recess? Did you know that, Rigel?
Fucked up, kid.
Yeah, you know why?
No.
Oh, concerns about children's self-esteem. And then, and lawsuits have led local school systems to ban such activities.
Don't you think that, like, you know, not letting children touch each other might have some type of effect on the body?
I think it might.
I mean, like, you know, I didn't have the most normal childhood, but nonetheless, like, I'm pretty sure if I had never fucking made physical contact with anyone else my age, I'd probably be really fucked up.
I'd probably be a serial killer. But did you know that some students in Thailand have it even worse? Their teacher was very strict about the school dress code. If a pupil's hair was too long, he'd simply lop it off. He chopped off one 15-year-old girl's earlobe in the process. And did you know that...
So that's how I fucking sit around and masturbate all day if I had never fucking touched anyone in my life.
Right. Well, did you know that Iran has banned shops from displaying women's lingerie in their windows? And the Islamic government has also prohibited unveiled mannequins with noticeable curves. And they also...
They killed that 6-year-old girl over there in Iran because she was, quote, smart with the judge.
Yeah, right? Anyway.
I mean, what the fuck?
Anyway, Iran also barred men from selling women's underwear. Yeah, they really have their priorities together in Iran.
Yeah, let me tell you, those fundamental Islamic people, fucking great guys.
Yeah, no different from fundamentalist Christians.
No, really not.
They're just the same thing.
The difference is the fucking fundamental Islamics have got their shit going on.
Well, at least they know what they're talking about.
Well, Well, I'm saying, like, they're like, in power, like, they're fucking running the show. Like, whereas over here, like, the fundamental Christians, like, they got to battle with everyone, like, I don't know.
Yeah, believe me, if the fundamental Christians, yeah, like us, they have to battle with us. If the fundamentalist Christians were running the show in the U.S., I think we would view what I just read about Iran as moderate. Anyway, for 5 years, swordstaff.com ran one of the most popular booths at the Canadian Comic Book Expo. And by the way, for people out there listening to Rant Radio, just like that other guy from fucking Ohio, because I'm talking about Canada doesn't mean we're from Canada.
Anyway, fucking 40 miles to go north if you're in Canada.
Yeah, I have a lot further to go than that. Swordstaff.com ran one of the most popular booths at the Canadian Comic Book Expo, selling replica swords, maces, and hammers. When the Toronto police found out, they arrested the four Americans and two Canadians manning the booth for selling illegal weapons. The convention organizer is perplexed by the arrest because Canadian Customs cleared all the items. So this is just police fucking worried about someone might fucking hit them with a mace. You know what I'm saying? Or they want to be able to shoot you in the fucking head. Anyway, elsewhere in Canada, we're not from Canada. Roger, where are you from?
Actually from fucking Western Michigan, currently Seattle, Washington.
Okay, I'm from New York City. Hey, Doug, where are you?
Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles, California. All right. Well, none of that is Canada. Elsewhere in Canada.
PA. There's that town, Ontario. Or California.
California.
Like, you write it down, it's like Ontario, CA.
And that, I'm sure, gets a lot of people confused.
Right, but nonetheless, we're not from Canada.
I guess you could say I'm miles from Ontario.
Elsewhere in Canada, 12 police officers, many wearing ski masks, burst into an Indian restaurant in Ottawa looking for drugs. They cut holes in the walls and ceilings and even searched the food. It was the fourth raid on the restaurant, and again, they found nothing. Police said they had observed cook Michael McPherson handing a package to someone. McPherson says he does that several times daily. The packages contain salt, pepper, and condiments. So apparently, you know, I guess the police can keep getting search warrants and it's A-okay. And they're not in jail. All 12 of those people should be serving life. All 12 of those police officers should be serving life in prison at the very least. And most likely, I would give them the death penalty. Anyway, after the fourth time, of course, because obviously they're fucking small cock having fucking morons.
Right, there's some personal shit going on there, clearly.
Yeah, exactly. And the last thing before we got to go, because it's been like 45 minutes, Clarence Henry had four different Social Security numbers and a conviction for shoplifting. Naturally, the Transportation Security Administration hired him to search check badges. Just as naturally, he was eventually arrested for stealing from those bags. The TSA still hasn't conducted background checks on many of its employees, and those checks weed out only people convicted of felonies. So, yeah. There you go. Fucking, that's the mind war. The real conspiracy is the official story. I'm Decoder.
I'm Roger Fife.
And I wish I was able to get a lot more into Carrie Thornley, the Free State Project, the interview with Michael Powell, but I have this thing called a job, and I also do this other thing called getting pussy, and I'm sure that a lot of people listening right now do neither. So, yeah, fucking go find out on your own. Use Google. The Mind War is sponsored by Google. I don't know if anyone knew that. I have a lot of stock in Google, and, you know, yeah.
Why would we like to thank Google?
Yes, we'd like to thank Google. So, Doug, do you have any shouts?
Sorry. I actually have an announcement. All these shows you've heard this week are available on themindwar.com after we finish this one show right now.
And make sure you send us emails at themindwar@themindwar.com.
We're $5 would be nice, too.
Huh?
Or send us $5. That would be nice, too.
Send us money.
And you get a copy of a high-quality versions of all these shows.
Yeah, we'll give you the high-quality versions on CDs if you fucking send us money.
And outtakes and behind-the-scenes and director's cut and everything.
Yeah, everything. Everything. You send money, you'll get everything.
Except for the last episode. Damn it.
Yeah, except for the last episode. Roger, you got any shouts?
No.
No shouts?
I don't know. I mean, fucking shouts to fucking, oh, God, Murdoch and fucking El Gordo Uno just to piss off everyone else.
All right. My shouts go to fucking my man Stank Dog from the Digital Dog Pound. You can hear him on Binary Revolution Radio. Tuesday nights, what time? 9:30? Doug?
Yeah, sure.
It's 6:30
Pacific. 6:30
Pacific
on Rant Radio Talk. And shouts to fucking Dual Parallel. And that's it, man. We are fucking out of here. You should be listening to music right now. I believe Rammstein's America.
Yeah, that's what I swear.
Yes, exactly.
Good fucking CD, but then again, I'm really fucking sad.
It's a good CD. Go out and buy it. Don't download it. I don't want it in. I don't want to intentionally induce infringements on copyrights. Later.
Thank you.
Unlike you, bitch.